Well, I don't know if it's the pandemic, but something is bringing out the worst in people in Metro Vancouver. Last year, we saw a shocking rise in hate crimes. I think they were up 600%. We had people being randomly attacked. Amir, you even interviewed a guy named Eddie Elmer, who had been attacked in the West End last year. What happened?
Yeah, this was in August of 2020. And I spoke to him after I myself was, you know, attacked once. So I could relate to his struggle. We connected, and he told me about an instance that happened to him in August. But I have a clip of our conversation of him detailing what had happened to him even months prior to that. This is Eddie talking to me about what happened to him in Cole Harbour in May of 2020.
So you can imagine how shocked I was when I was walking and somebody came out of nowhere and started asking me these really bizarre, nonsensical questions. I ignored him. And when I didn't respond, he asked me why I was being rude to him. Then he started calling me a faggot, followed me down the street. As I tried to get away from him, he started running after me and said he was going to beat the crap out of me and put a bullet through my skull.
Shocking, right?
There's no excuse for that.
No.
None at all.
This is Vancouver, and the reason we're talking about Eddie Elmer is because he has been attacked again.
Yeah.
This time it actually,
physically,
you know, came to physical violence. Eddie Elmer is on the line. Eddie is a PhD student. He's also an LGBTQ advocate. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me on your show a second time, and it's unfortunate that it's under the same circumstances as the last time.
Which is, it's crazy. So this attack took place Friday in the West End. What happened?
So it would have been early Saturday morning.
Okay.
So I was taking a walk downtown, as I usually do. I approached West Georgia and Burrard, pretty busy intersection, the heart of the city. There's a young man standing at the intersection. I was waiting to cross the street. He approached me, and I don't remember the exact words that were exchanged, but it was to the effect of, "Do you want to start a fight with me, you effing Jew?" And then made other comments about Jewish people. Tried to punch me in the head and neck area. Then he actually did strike me in the leg. He fled a few moments later. I called police. They arrived very quickly, and they were able to find him, and he was arrested. They'd already been looking for him because there was an outstanding warrant. But like you said, this is the first time I've actually been physically touched. I've been followed multiple times during the night and sometimes during the day while walking around downtown on the West End. But this is the first time I was actually physically touched. And so it left me feeling quite shaken, and particularly since it was at a location where you would not expect this kind of thing to happen. And there was actually a police car that was idling about a block down. So it was just quite, I didn't think something like that would happen here.
Eddie, I'm sorry about this, and I don't get it. I mean, like, why you?
I'm out and about at night with some frequency. I'm a bit of a night owl. So I think people just, you know, people see me, I think one of the big problems we have right now is because of COVID, we have fewer eyes and ears on the street. So people aren't going to clubs and bars and restaurants, and we don't have as many tourists on the street. So it's people like me and people going to work late at night who become targets because there's really nobody else to target. But, you know, I don't know if there's, you know, issue. We have an increase in actual hate in the city. I mean, I think the big issue we have is problems with mental illness, problems with drugs. And I think these issues just bring hate to the foreground, and they make people sort of disinhibited and allows them to act on you know, whatever hateful impulses they have. I also think, you know, we don't have enough police patrols on the street. And I've noticed very clearly when there aren't that many officers patrolling the streets, these things seem to happen more often.
You know, there has been an increase in hate crimes that have been reported to police for sure. So I guess it's a whole mix of things. I mean, maybe even the political rhetoric that we've been hearing about,
sure,
you know, in the last several years on both sides of the border. We've got an opioid crisis. Maybe people are frustrated with the pandemic.
Yes.
How are you feeling about your personal safety after not one but two incidents?
Well, it isn't more than two. I mean, these were the two most serious ones. But like I said, I mean, actually a couple weeks ago, I had somebody threaten me with robbery. I didn't really think he was all that serious, but I mean, it could have been. I mean, people are really quite unpredictable. Like, I feel uncomfortable even looking at somebody on the street when I'm walking past them on the sidewalk because I don't know what reaction they will have. You know, people are just so unpredictable, and I really do feel afraid. And as a gay man who's experienced some violence in my life and who's been bullied when he was younger, I'm on my guard at the best of times. But this is just making me feel even worse. And it's also making me feel angry because me, and not just me, my friends and my colleagues have had to change our routines because of this. And people are often telling us, well, you know, if you don't want to be harassed, if you don't want to be assaulted, don't go out at night, don't go in this area, don't go in that area. But I don't think that we should accept that. I mean, this is Vancouver. We're not in Chicago or L.A. People shouldn't have to change their routine. And it's really upsetting.
And even just you telling this story online made you a target.
Yes, I was quite shocked. Most of the comments were very positive, very supportive. I had a lot of people reach out to me privately to share their own experiences of racism, of homophobic attacks. Sadly, most of these people told me they did not report these incidents to police. But there were some negative comments, including one person who, for whatever reason, thinks I made the story up, and some people who said I was just seeking attention, and a few people who commented that it seems highly improbable that I would have experienced two such violent incidents within a short period of time, given that the rate of reported hate crimes in the city is so low. We know that most hate crimes are actually not reported, or most hate incidents, hate crimes are not reported. So I wasn't expecting those reactions, but
are you afraid? I mean, we've had a broadcaster a matter of months ago who had his leg broken by some preacher who was, you know, saying ridiculous, offensive things on a street. You're not the only one. Are you afraid that this is going to escalate at some point so someone might actually die?
I absolutely do. And my big concern is with the kinds of weapons that I see people carrying. I was not seriously injured during this particular incident, but had this person had a weapon of some sort, I don't doubt that he would have used it. And I don't even want to get into the kinds of weapons I've seen people openly carrying on the street, particularly like early last year when the pandemic started. I mean, I saw people walking around with baseball bats, with police-like batons, you know, those collapsible batons, I don't know the name, and machetes, and 90% certain I saw somebody walking around with a sword. And we know there have been incidents where people have been attacked with machetes in public spaces during daylight.
On Granville Street.
On Granville Street, and there was an attack on a homeless man in front of the Canadian Tire on Cambie, which we know is a pretty busy location. So not only do we have an increase in the frequency of these attacks, whether or not and some of them are hate-related, some of them are not, but they're becoming increasingly brazen. And I think that's the most shocking thing of all. And it can really happen anywhere. Like, my first attack was in Cole Harbour. That's no offense to people who live in Cole Harbour, but that's, like, one of the most boring parts of the city. It's very quiet. Nothing happens there.
Right.
So this is truly shocking to me.
Can you believe that we're sitting here on CKNW Radio talking about Vancouver this way?
No. I've lived here 20 years. This is a dramatic change. Definitely the last few years has been a big change. Definitely the last year in particular, there's been a change. And I think a lot of that is because of the pandemic and just fewer eyes and ears on the street.
Eddie, I am so sorry that this has happened to you. And then when you speak out about it, you end up getting blowback from some people who say you're a liar. You know, for what reason would you make this up? But I'm glad we're talking about it because we have to be alert.
We need to talk about it.
Yeah. And we need to make sure that we have each other's backs.
Yes. Well, I mean, certainly when people ask me what are some of the things we can do, I mean, one of my recommendations is we really need to look out for each other. I mean, if you see somebody on the street who looks like they're in trouble, I mean, you don't have to, you know, you should get involved. I mean, you don't have to approach the situation, you don't have to get directly involved, but it can be as simple as, you know, calling 911 and describing what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And people often do that, but, you know, in many cases they don't, and that's really upsetting. I mean, it's bad enough being attacked, but to be attacked and then have people just, you know, ignore it or makes the traumatic situation feel even worse.
Unacceptable. Eddie Elmer, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Eddie Elmer talking about being attacked not once, but twice in Vancouver. By the way, we did reach out to the VPD. They said that the file is under investigation. They have identified a suspect. They have not arrested anyone for this offense yet. So that's what's going on there. But my question is, what is driving the hate? What is making people act like this in Vancouver?
That's a great question, Linda, because sure, lockdowns, COVID, they're a part of it. But I think maybe what we're viewing and reading while we're locked down and
storming
not doing
the Capitol,
stuff. Yeah,
maybe?
You know, yeah. I wonder if people that are doing this are the same type of people that are doing that.
And it makes me wonder if we're in the same kind of trouble, potentially, as we're seeing south of the border right now.
Oh, I think we are, 100%.
My next guest, stay tuned for this, says Canadians are headed for trouble, and she'll explain why. Stay tuned for that. Well, you just heard what happened to a Vancouverite named Eddie Elmer in his own neighborhood in the West End, attacked by some idiot who was physically attacking him and yelling some anti-Semitic stuff. It doesn't even make sense. This is the second time Eddie's been attacked in a matter of months. Then we see the reports on the 6 o'clock news of hate crimes in Metro Vancouver, and we think, hey, at least we're not as crazy as they are south of the border, those Americans who stormed the Capitol. Well, my next guest says, don't be even a little bit smug, because we have got some serious problems right here at home. Dr. Jennifer Wallowick is from the Strengthening Canadian Democracy Initiative at SFU's Morris J. Wask Center for Dialogue. Dr. Wallowick, thank you for joining us.
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're an American who's lived in Canada the past 15 years. You study democracy, social media, movements. You saw the storming of the Capitol coming, basically. But you have the same sense of dread about what's happening here in Canada. Tell me why.
Yeah, let me take you back to November 3rd, day after the election. I turned to my husband and I said, someone's going to get shot. You know, it was clear the vision had overshadowed objective facts. The idea that we can other people so far that we no longer care about, you know, the truth of an election is insane. You know, Eddie, you just talked about with him, he experienced someone seeing him as so different that they ignored the fact that he's a son, that he's a friend, that he's a neighbor, to the point where they could then extract violence. So the fact that we're not as bad as the U.S. is definitely true. But are we headed that way? That's what concerns me. Because everything we do, at home, at work, at school, our communities, our formal institutions, we can either strengthen our democracy and our ability to come together and work through challenging things, or we can weaken it. And clearly, the U.S. has allowed too many steps to weaken our democracy. And so I don't want to have that happen here.
What are the concerning signs you're seeing in Canada?
So what is this notion of, you know, party politics is war? We have this notion where, you know, I need to beat the Liberals or I need to beat the NDP rather than here are my values that I want to take into a decision-making space. And part of it's concerning is because research has come out of the University of Michigan that says when you use these words like, you know, a war on this, we're going to combat this, it actually activates a minority of people who might already be predisposed towards aggression. Now, definitely not the majority. By far not the majority, but for folks who already show that they might, you know, approve of violence as a political action, then after they encounter these words, they're more likely that their strength in that conviction becomes stronger. And we really see that with the Trump movement.
And change, positive change, can happen right in our own homes. So how do we start the conversation?
So one of the things that, like, you invited me on because I wrote an op-ed in The Sun, and I thank you for engaging in the conversation. And I always like to be like, what do I do? And what is my first question to myself? And one of those things I do is, okay, what are the things that aggravate me or topics that I feel like I can't engage with someone? So I hate it when someone tells me that I'm wrong. I hate it when someone, you know, wants to silence a certain perspective of people, because I do believe we all get to be experts in our experience. And I notice when I get that little tension in my chest, and the very first thing I do is realize I need to ask a question. An open-ended question. Before I respond, before I comment, I want to ask a question. And usually that's enough to just get my brain thinking and to get the other person's brain thinking. And then I start to think about where might we actually learn from each other? Because learning is actually how you change opinions. But it's also learning in a way that shows respect. You know, that's part of what we're seeing when people are being aggressive, is they feel like they're not being respected and they want to influence the world in some way. They want to take control in some way. And so, you know, creating that experience with someone where they feel listened to or I feel listened to can actually work through that process. But it begins by asking a question.
Wow. I mean, this is such an important conversation, and we don't have time to go further, but I want to have you back on for a much more extensive conversation, because even just today, ABC News says it's obtained an FBI report saying armed protests are planned for all 50 state capitals and the U.S. Capitol starting this week. Oh, my God. We're not done with what we're seeing south of the border. Dr. Jennifer Wallowick, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. Dr. Wallowick is from SFU's Morris J. Wask Center for Dialogue.
A gunman on the loose in a quiet coastal town. By morning, 22 people were dead. I'm Sarah Ritchie. I live in Halifax, and I'm a reporter for Global News. On my new podcast, 13 Hours, Inside the Nova Scotia Massacre, we'll examine every hour of this tragedy to try and piece together what happened and what could have been done to prevent it. You can listen to 13 Hours Inside the Nova Scotia Massacre for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.